If you were here last week, you know that we celebrated Easter, right? And what Easter means to all of us. And it was just a great time. Had a wonderful breakfast downstairs, thanks to Kevin and Lynn and that team. And yes. And we just had a great time together and celebrating the Lord. And as a matter of fact, I would say this. If you missed the message last week, I would really encourage you to go back and to listen to it or watch it online, because I talked about the fact that we can now, because of Easter, we can say goodbye to shame. The fact is that when Jesus hung on the cross, he rejected shame, which means that he rejected the shame that the enemy continually tries to use against us, the shame that often holds us back and keeps us from being who God has called us to be. And because of Easter, because Jesus died, and because he didn't stay dead, right? Because he rose from the grave, we can all experience freedom from sin and shame. And so I encourage you to go back and to listen to it if you missed it. Because it really is an amazing truth for all of us if we realize and understand what he did for us on the cross. And one of the things that I reminded us of last week is just the fact that Easter isn't just a one-day event, right? For those who choose to follow Jesus, it's an everyday reality. And these amazing promises that Easter brought aren't something that we experience just once a year. They're something that we can experience every day when we give our lives to him. You see, following Jesus means putting him at the center of our lives and following his example, right? His example of love and sacrifice. It means seeking to grow in our relationship with him through prayers, through reading the Bible, through fellowship with others. It means being willing sometimes to step out of our comfort zone and let our lights shine bright for him. And so as we transition from Easter to today and to the weeks ahead, I want to look at what it means to be living in his light. That's the title of my message today, living in his light. And so if you have your Bibles, you can open them to Ephesians chapter 5. Now, to give us just a little background on the book of Ephesians, this is a letter written by the Apostle Paul to the church in Ephesus somewhere around 60 AD. And it was written to the believers there in Ephesus. And it was encouraging them to remember to shed their old life and to live the new life that Jesus had for them. And it emphasizes the transformative power of the gospel, which enables us to be people who let our light shine for the Lord. And so if you have your Bibles this morning, you can follow along with me. We're going to read Ephesians 5, 8 through 14. As we kind of look at, we transition from Easter. So what does it mean now as followers of Jesus to keep moving, to let our light shine? And so this is from Paul in Ephesians 5, beginning in verse 8. It says this: "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, 'Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.'" And that's where we're going to stop this morning. Now, Paul here is comparing who we used to be, right, before we knew Jesus. Remember, this is written to believers in the church. And so he is comparing who we used to be before we knew Jesus to who we are now, right? Followers of Jesus. And he's reminding us that we were once in darkness. We were once people who lived for the world as opposed to living our life for Christ. But now, we are light. We are followers of Jesus, or as Paul puts it here, we are children of light. And Paul tells us to live out what we are, right? Live as children of the light. In other words, we're to live in His light so that we can be light. Now, as I studied this section of Scripture, I realized that there are some powerful things that the light of Jesus does for us, that what it does in our lives. And so this morning, I want to look at four things that I've identified that I believe living in His light does. Four things living in the light of Jesus does for us. The first one is this. Number one, I think, it helps us produce good fruit. It tells us in verse 9 that it produces goodness, righteousness, truth, right? And this is no way the only fruit that it produces. This is just kind of a short list that Paul gives us for him to really get his point across. And these three traits or values that Paul mentions here, that they are values that are completely opposite of those who live in darkness, right? Now, if you were to read through the earlier chapters in Ephesians, you would see Paul reference a lot the lives of Gentiles. And you've probably heard that. We've talked about Gentiles before. If you're not familiar with that term, Gentile, it's the term that people of God, the people of Israel, the Jewish people used for anyone that wasn't Jewish or who hadn't been kind of grafted in to the Jewish family. And before Jesus came and died on the cross, before Jesus came to this earth, these Israelites, these God-fearing people, they didn't associate with Gentiles. Because Gentiles were considered to be sinful, immoral heathens, right? And Paul would never use words like good, righteous, or truthful to describe a Gentile. But we're Gentiles, right? In the sense of what, or we were Gentiles in the sense of that. Before we came to know Jesus, we were probably not known for being good, righteous, or truthful ourselves. That the fruit that our life produces before following Jesus is probably not good fruit, right? Because we're living in darkness. And so the question is, how does someone who used to live in darkness, how do they produce good fruit? Someone that used to produce bad fruit, how do they then produce good fruit? Well, Paul tells us here that it's living in the light of Jesus. When we live in His light shines through us and it allows us to produce good fruit. It produces the kind of fruit that then lasts, the kind of fruit that makes a difference for the good in the world around us. And so we need the light of Jesus in our lives because through His light, we produce good fruit. And then the second thing we hear that happens, or we see here that happens when we live in His light is this. When we live in His light, it helps shed light on the darkness. In verses 10 and 11, it says this. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. Now, we live in a world today where just about everything is acceptable, right? But just because it's acceptable in the world's eyes doesn't mean it's actually acceptable in God's eyes. God's desire is for us to walk in His truth, to see things of the world for what they are, to understand and realize that there are things in this world that actually pull us away from the Lord. This is why it's important that we walk in the light, that we live as children of the light, because when we walk in the light, not only does it help us see His truth, but it helps expose the darkness that's around us. Verse 11 says, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. We are called to expose the darkness. But here's the thing, and listen very closely, okay? How we expose it makes all the difference in the world. Years ago, when I was a youth pastor in Newburgh, I was driving home from a meeting, and I ended up driving by Tiger High School. Sometimes I take the Durham exit, come back through Tiger High School. It was always kind of faster than 99. And I was driving by Tiger High School at the time that it was getting out, so it wasn't as fast as I hoped it would be. But there was a man out in front of the school, in front of the high school, that had this sandwich board on. And the board said, "Choose Jesus or burn in hell." That was what was on his sign, right? And he literally was yelling these things. "Choose Jesus or you're going to burn in hell." And he's yelling at these high school students as they're going to their bus, as they're leaving the school, and he's got this sandwich board on. And I'm like, "Yeah, you do it, man. You tell them, guys, they're going to hell." And I didn't really. I'm just joking. Not at all. I literally was disgusted by it. Because here's the thing, I honestly doubt this man made a difference in any of these kids' lives except for maybe giving them a bad view of God and Christianity. And now we may not be as crazy and aggressive as this guy was with his sandwich board and yelling at these high schoolers, but I think sometimes we can be just as ineffective. You see, when we preach at people with this judgmental attitude, when we come with this holier-than-thou idea, it actually pushes people away from God. Do we like to listen to people that get up in our face and tell us we're wrong and how we need to change? We don't like that, right? And so when we come in that way, it pushes people away from God. And I don't think that's what Paul is saying here when he talks about exposing the darkness. He's not telling us to go out with a flashlight and shine at people's face and say, you're going to burn in hell if you don't get your life together. That's not what God is calling us to do. That's not what He wants from us. As a matter of fact, if we go back and look at some instruction that Paul gives us in Ephesians chapter 4 earlier, we'd see that he actually talks about humility. These are four words in chapter 4, verse 2. He talks about humility, gentleness, patience, and love. Oh, what if we approached people in that way? How much different would it be, right? I've learned that when we approach people with these kinds of values, when we approach them with humility, because we're all sinners, we all fall short, we all fail. Sometimes we act as if we're better than them. The only thing that makes us, and not even better, the only thing that makes us so that we aren't going to burn is that we've given our life to Jesus, right? That's the only thing. Otherwise, we're exactly the same. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short. We've just been forgiven of our sin. And so when we approach them with humility, when we come in gentleness instead of pointing the finger and angry at them, when we come with patience, right? Got to change right now. I better do it now, right? You know, that's when you start counting down. One, two, now, one, two, now. You know, we get that impatient. Like, you got to change. Just now we come with that attitude. But God is the only one that changes them. It's His timing and His way. So when we come with humility, gentleness, patience, and love, right? When we love them, here's what I've learned. When we come in that way, we actually then begin to earn the right to be heard, right? We earn the right to be heard because the light in us shines in a way that actually intrigues people. I told you the story a little while ago of my buddy Darren in the prison, you know, and it's like the guy hated Christianity. He wouldn't want anything to do with it. But then he's like, "But you're different." People are intrigued and drawn to it when we come in this way. We have to be people who walk in this attitude where we come with humility, gentleness, patience, and love. It's like the old quote that you've heard me say before from St. Francis of Assisi: preach the gospel at all times. Use words if necessary. A lot of times we want to use all these words, we want to preach at them. That's not what it says. It's preach the gospel, use words if necessary. I love this quote because the truth is actions often speak louder than words, right? Now, the reality is, at some point, words are going to be necessary. But when we live as children of the light and walk in humility, gentleness, patience, and love, we earn the right to be heard. And it's then, when we get to speak, that God's truth begins to expose the darkness in their lives, and they begin to realize the truth of how we've been living and what God's doing in us, and it makes them want to change as well. It's not because we debated them or yelled them into telling them something. It's because they saw us live it out. Third thing we see that his light does is this. It makes everything visible. Now, here's the thing. We hear that and it sounds like number two a little bit. But the word expose is used twice in the scripture. First in verse 11, which we just talked about, where it's talking about exposing the darkness around us. But then we see that word again in verse 13 where it says, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible. And as I study this, I believe this is referring to the hidden things in our own lives. It exposes the sin and the struggles in our own life that maybe we don't even realize, right? That's one thing I love about the Lord. He'll expose something. Oh, yeah, you see something and you deal with it. And then you're like, all right, now I'm good. And he's like, oh, wait a second. That was the first thing. Now we're going to go to the second thing, right? And it's that idea of how he exposes those things in our life, those hidden things in our lives. And the truth is, God is at work in all of our lives, and he's constantly molding us and shaping us into the people he's calling us to be. And this process, it's a lifelong process. And the truth is, we all have areas in our life where we can improve, where we can get better, things that maybe we've been holding on to that we need to let go. And it's when we choose to walk in his light that he's able to make those things visible, for us to see those things in our life that we need to let go of, that he's able to expose the things where we're falling short, those things in our life that maybe we haven't fully given to the Lord. And maybe it's not so much that they're hiding from us, but maybe we're trying to hide them, right? And when we walk in the light, the Lord begins to expose those things. And the sad thing is I think sometimes this is why some of us pull back. We dive into the Lord. And, yeah, I want to serve him. But then he starts to expose some of those things in our life that we've hidden, and we don't want to deal with them. And so we pull back. It's kind of why we fail to go all in with the Lord, because, oh, well, he's going to make me deal with this. He's going to make me deal with that, right? Because if we're truly honest, we like some of those things that we hide, right? But God wants us to fully step into the light and to allow him to expose all the things that are keeping us from growing in him, because he knows that it's those things that are hidden, those deep, dark secrets that keep us from experiencing the life that God has for us. And some of that comes from what we talked about last week, right? This shame that we hold on to, and we hide these things. And God says, no, let's bring them to the light, because we want to deal with them, and we want to set you free. And the truth is that sometimes to do that, it can be a little painful. A lot of it depends on how deep, right, we've hidden some of those things, or how long we've allowed those things to be in our life. But when we give them to the Lord and allow him to do his work, it actually brings freedom to our lives and allows us to be who God is calling us to be. As I was thinking about this truth, it reminds me of an old illustration, a funny illustration, from my childhood days. Have any of you ever got a splinter that's so deep that you can't, you know, just get it out with your fingernails or with tweezers? Usually you kind of got to dig it out. I would have this happen from time to time when I was a little kid. And my mom, she would break out the needle, right? She would use a needle and to kind of work it out. My dad would break out the pocket knife, right? And like, no, let's just cut that thing open. Let's just get that thing out. either way, it wasn't fun, right? Because it meant that they were going to have to kind of dig a little into the skin, get down underneath there to get that splinter out. So either way, it was a little painful. But I had this memory when I was young. I was probably like third or fourth grade. We had this big gathering at my uncle's house. It might have been a family reunion. I know one time there was a big family reunion out there. I don't know if that was then or if we were just with a bunch of my cousins out at my uncle's house. He lived out in the country on the outskirts of Eugene, had this big pool, and then just all sorts of fun for kids out there, to horses and things to run around. And I remember I had been swimming. I had a great time in the pool with my cousins, but then I started running around, and I didn't have my shoes on, which wasn't anything new for me at that age, right? But somehow I got this splinter in the bottom of my foot, and it hurt pretty bad. I was having trouble running around, and I finally decided to go to my mom, and I went to my mom first, right? Because mom's the gentle one. And so she tried to borrow some tweezers from my aunt, tried to get it out, and unfortunately she goes, "Buddy, I can't get it out. We're going to need to get your dad." And I'm like, "No, not my dad, right? Not the pocket knife, you know?" And she's like, "Buddy, you got to get it out. It's going to get infected. We need to take care of it." And so brings in my dad, and I start freaking out, right? Because the pocket knife comes out, and he's like, has me sit down on, there's a bench by the pool, and has me sit down, and pulls out the knife, and I start freaking out, and then I'm pulling my foot back. It's like, "Buddy, you can't do that. I'm going to cut you worse, you know, if you move." And all I remember is by the end of this, my uncles and my older cousins had a hold of me. Because, I mean, I was a little third or fourth grader, but I was an athlete, and I was pretty squirmy and pretty... When I freaked out, I freaked out sometimes, you know. And some other time I have to tell you about my first shots as a first grader, and the nurses have to chase me around the medical building because I'm running from the shot, you know. But anyways, my aunt and uncle are holding, my uncle's there at my aunt and uncle's house. My uncles and my older cousins literally holding me and holding my foot so my dad can, you know, and I'm screaming like they're murdering me, right? You know, it's a good thing they lived out in the country. Someone probably would have called the cops. I just remember there, you know, and all of a sudden, "All right, you're good. Oh, it's out. It's gone." You know, and honestly, it probably didn't even hurt that much. It was the fear and me screaming and all that made me think it was going to be more painful. But all this stuff that I built up in my head. But I remember as soon as my dad said, "Okay, you're done," I finally... you know, calm down from screaming and being held by my family members who were torturing me. But all I remember was my foot was fine, and then I just went off running and playing again, right? And as I remember that moment in my life, I thought, what a great illustration. Because we all have those things in our life that we're afraid to deal with, right? We have those areas that God wants to expose, but we're afraid to deal with those things. And the truth is, like that knife, it may hurt a little bit as the Lord is digging out the crud. But that very thing that we're so afraid of is the very thing that ultimately will set us free, right? I was afraid of that pocket knife, but it actually got out the splinter and enabled me to go run around and have fun with my cousins, right? The Lord just wants to help us, and we're afraid, but the very thing that we're afraid of actually can bring freedom and healing to our life. His light makes everything visible, and we need to step into that light and allow him to reveal those things to us, because it helps us become who he's calling us to be. Amen. Final thing that we can learn here, number four, about his light is this. It makes us light. When we live in his light, it makes us light. When we go back to the beginning of these scriptures and look at verse 8, it says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light." He doesn't say you are now in the light. He says you are now light. This is why we are called to step out of darkness, because we are called to be light. We are called to let our light shine, and it's as we walk in his light that he is able to make us shine. A great illustration of this is the those glow-in-the-dark things for kids, you know? Some of you may know what I'm talking about. You know, they have stars and moons and stuff that you can put in the bedrooms or put up places around, you know. You see them all the time. But here's the catch. I remember one time, one of my kids, I don't remember which one it was, we came home from Chuck E. Cheese, right, with some of these glow-in-the-dark pieces, right? And they were all excited. And so what they did, we came home, and their bathroom didn't have a window. And so you go in there, and if stuff was dark, you could tell. And so they went into their bathroom, closed the door, and they're like, "Dad, there's something wrong. These things don't glow in the dark," right? And I remember, I can't remember who it was, but they were all upset. And here's the thing. If you're familiar with the glow-in-the-dark stuff, it has to actually be put in front of a light source. You actually have to hold it in front of light for a while. And then it absorbs the light from that light source, which then enables it to glow in the dark. Right? And here's the thing. If you don't continue to put it in front, like if you just put it in a dark room and leave it there, eventually it'll stop glowing. You have to continue to expose it to light so that it can glow and shine the way that it's supposed to be. And the truth is, we're no different, right? We're like the glow-in-the-dark stuff. The reality is, we don't shine on our own. On our own, we were in darkness. But in Christ, we become light. Our light begins to shine in Him. Christ in us helps us be light in a dark world. The reason it's so important for us to live in His light is so that we can be light to a dark world. Now, I've heard people say, and even pastors, when they talk about letting our light shine, one illustration in particular I've heard pastors use is the moon. They use this illustration of the moon. What does the moon do? It reflects the light of the sun, and I've heard people say that what are we called to do? Reflect the light of the sun, S-O-N, right? And I get it. It's a great sort of illustration. But I don't think that's actually true. I don't think we're just supposed to reflect light. I think we're supposed to be light. You are light. That's what it says. And the only way that that's going to happen is from the inside out, right? When we allow God full access to every area of our life, it enables Him to transform us from the inside out, and it enables His Spirit to shine through us, where because of Him, we literally begin to shine. That's God's call for our life. Many of you know our life verse for our family is Matthew 5:16, that simply says, "Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." 2 years ago, I had these shirts made for all of my family, Sean included, as he lived with us. And it just says, "Shine," Matthew 5:16. It's something that we know that God has called us to do, that we are called to let His light shine so that people would be drawn to Him. That's what Easter was about, so that we could get saved and then begin. It's not we were saved from, you've heard me say this, we were saved from, but we were also saved for, right? We were saved from sin and death. That's Easter. It's amazing. But now we get to go and to be His lights that shine bright to see others come to know Him. This is why we want to be people who are living in His light, because it enables us to shine and do what He's called us to do. Amen? Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your word. Lord, You love us so much. We talked about that last week at Easter. You came and You died on a cross for our sins. You came and rejected sin and shame so that we could have a new life in You. And that's the first step, Lord, that we can be forgiven, that we can walk in Your light and know that we are forgiven because of what you did. But then it enables us to go and to be lights that shine bright for you, to see others come to know the truth of who you are. And that's your desire for us, Lord, is that we would be people as followers of you that would live in your light and that would allow that light to shine through us. So that, Lord, we see that fruit in our lives so that we can help lovingly expose the darkness. Lord, seeing others come to know you so that we can have those areas in our life be made visible that we need to continue to give to you. Why? So that we can shine the brightest that you desire us to shine, Lord. And so, Lord, help us to be your lights. If there's anyone here today that hasn't chose to follow you, Lord, this message was spoken to the believers there in Ephesus. And if there's anybody who hasn't made that choice to follow you, I pray that today they would choose to begin to live in your light. And that they would begin to then that process themselves of becoming the light that you have called them to be. And for those of us that have said yes to you, Lord, we want to just continue. We want to continue to be the light that you've called us to be. We want to allow you to continue to show us those areas in our lives that we need to give to you. Those areas in our lives where we need to let you get out the pocket knife and dig down a little and remove that crud so that we can be the men and women of God that you've called us to be. And so, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for all that you are doing in and through our lives. We want to let your light shine in us so that we can be the lights that you have called us to be. We thank you for this word. Help us, Lord, just to hear what do you want to speak to each of us as individuals today? What is it that you're challenging us, Lord, in? What are the things that we need to walk out of here today with so that we can be new and different people tomorrow? As I talked about at the beginning, this Ephesians, a lot of it is Paul talking about shedding the old and putting on the new. And that's our desire, Lord, is to shed the old, the darkness, and to begin to put on the light that you have given us so that we can shine brightly for you. Help us to continue to absorb your light, to allow your spirit to work in and through us. We thank you for these things. We give them to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.